Welcome to episode 21 of the Permaculture Pimpcast. Thanks everybody for checking us out. We're the only Pimpcast out there where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Good. How are you?
Man, doing good, man. It's busy, but it's better than not being busy.
I don't think I can listen to our intro music anymore.
Why?
Like our intro song?
Why?
Like it's ruined now.
Why?
I think it's the podcast every time. I can't listen to it outside of the podcast anymore.
Well, how many times are you ever listening to the Gap Band?
Every once in a while.
I mean, okay, well, I raised you
right.
I
can't listen to the Gap Band outside of the podcast now.
No, man, it's I love that song, man. I mean, I love what it's, well, I love part of it, you know, it's saying get up early in the morning, man. That's what we do. But, man, the news, everything around us is crazy, and it's only going to get crazier, folks, and that's why we're going to talk about preparedness today. Remember, if you're going to listen to us, check us out on the Fountain app, and also go to freesteading.com. Y'all, we're having bigger presence over there. Go check it out.
It'll be linked at the top of the show notes.
Also, remember, we got that the end of this month. It's going to be September 30th. We are going to be doing the next edition to the swale class. And it's going to consist of a guild.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to be showing you how to plant a bare root tree. Or are they going to be potted? Bare root or potted?
Well,
we're not sure yet.
Excuse me. It's kind of touch and go right now as far as the trees go. I mean, we're going to have them, but it's doubtful that they're going to be bare roots. So
regardless of the tree, we're going to show you how to plant that tree and how to install the guild around it, the support species around that tree.
We got a pretty unique way about putting in the cover crop after that and how we go about it.
Yeah.
You're going to learn all that stuff, and you're going to learn a whole lot more. But, hey, here's the part you don't yet know. You're finding out here. Michelle is going to be with me. Also, Eric Sider. You heard me interview him a while back. Eric's going to be there. And
yeah, so all the women that have been asking us, like, hey, where's Michelle? I wanted to meet Michelle and all that stuff. Now's your chance to go meet mom. It's weird calling her Michelle.
Yeah, I know. It's weird getting her out, man. I mean, you cannot get her. Yeah. Because, honestly, she loves what she does so much, man. And it's tough to get her out. But she had a real good reason to come here. I mean, it's not that she doesn't want to meet everybody. That's really not the case. It's I mean, we really do farm. We're not like some folks out there where we pretend to farm. We got this stuff and we do it.
And for the foreseeable future, it's either going to be me with Dad or mom with Dad, because she's not about to leave her little babies, her little animals alone with some stranger.
Anybody, I mean, or even if somebody she knows. I mean,
Well, Justin watched them that one time and she was
Justin did a fantastic
Justin did
job.
Awesome. I mean, but mom was still tripping.
I was like, dude, I wanted to go back out, man. But here she was, man. She will drive you nuts because she has this thing where every woman in her family, man, they have this thing where they worry incessantly to the point where you can honestly feel it in different rooms.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the most bizarre thing
you can
I've
feel
ever
it.
I mean, it's literally the Force, man. It's like she's some kind of weird Jedi, man. She ain't doing that mind trick on me, though. At least I don't think so.
She did that mind trick on you to get Nala.
Yeah, she did, actually. No, I knew she was sitting there.
It still worked.
Yeah, well, we got that little hood rat dog of hers. And, yeah, she did the Jedi mind trick worked on me then. All right, y'all, tip of the day. And it's all in keeping with the theme of the podcast. We're going to be talking about permaculture preparedness, and you might want to check it out because I'm going to be hitting some things I'm not sure you thought about before. Here you go. Train at night. What do I mean by that? I'm here to tell y'all, folks, the biggest uncomfortable barrier for most people in, let's say, a grid down scenario, whether it's an EMP, whatever the case may be. Let's just say things degenerate to the point where people aren't showing up to work at powerhouses.
You mean this is the tip of the day?
Yeah.
Train at night?
Train
at
night, yeah.
I thought you were getting in. It sounded like you were getting into the main topic at first.
No,
train
or,
at night. Or is the tip
it could
of the
be,
day.
It could be, I mean, with some of the things that we're seeing unfold right now, look, y'all, we don't do the fear and we don't say anything without providing solutions. But I am telling you, even if you do nothing else. One of the hardest things for a soldier to learn when they first get into the military is the fact that you don't have the benefit of walking around with a flashlight like most people do. I mean, you are in very dangerous terrain. I mean, whether it was the jungles of Panama, whether it was Alaska, which wasn't so bad because you always have some level of visibility, even in low light in an Arctic environment, because you always have some snow out there. So whatever little light there is, it always provides some level of visibility. But you're going to have to get comfortable in some places, especially on your farm, if you don't have night vision. And if you do have night vision, you put the IR setting on there or infrared, you're giving away your position to anybody else that might have night vision. So you want to get good at walking around at night using your peripheral vision. That's how you do it. You don't look at anything directly. You're kind of looking at everything with your peripheral vision. Once you, there is no bigger annoyance that I ever have is when I would go to some of these homestead gatherings and everybody, not everybody, but just about everybody is wearing these stupid headlights. It drives me nuts, man.
I hate headlights. I absolutely hate it when people bring headlights to these festivals when it gets dark.
I hate it.
Because it just, you can't, you're blinding the other person.
You're not just blinding them, because once you do get your night vision, the moment you look at something bright, you're screwed for...
You got to start all over again.
Yeah, you're right back at square one. And here's another reason why you don't want those headlights. I'm going to spend a little time on this, y'all. Is two things are going to give you away in a tactical environment. Smell and sight. If you're at night, and let's just say it's a grid down scenario, whatever the case may be, you got one of those headlights on, I mean, light discipline is going to get probably more people massacred than anything. Because most people cannot function without, I mean, it's not that they can't, they just never have done it. They don't realize how well you can function, even in a rugged environment like ours, at night without a headlight. You really can do it.
Yeah, it's kind of fun, actually. It's a little freaky using your peripheral vision, but it's fun. But also with the headlight, you're making yourself do tunnel vision. You're sticking yourself into tunnel vision because you're not going to look anywhere that a headlight isn't.
Now, it's one thing if you shot a deer like right before before sundown and you're going out there, because when you're out there with a lantern and you're looking for those blood trails, let's say you hit them with a bow and it's now dark and you're going to have to track that deer. Well, in those cases, man, that blood sticks out like a fluorescent light. I mean, it'll bounce off that lantern like nobody's business. Cases like that, it has a role. But in terms of a tactical environment, there's going to be a whole lot of people, man, that give themselves up because of those stupid headlights. I hate those things with a passion. And every single time they break them out, man, you know your night vision is going to be shot.
Also, we're not saying like, hey, you have to go check your animals every single time at dark or anything like that. He's talking specifically in a tactical environment. Just practice now.
Maybe if you live rurally like we do, just turn off the lights outside and just let your night vision... even, you know, if it could be your house, you might want some blackout shades. Think about it. It could be a place where you're out and it could be a clandestine type patrol based situation and you have a fire out there. I got news for you. No soldier ever lights a fire. And there's a reason for that, because you can smell it forever in a day and you can also see it. I mean, it sticks out when you're in. You'd be shocked at how much light it takes. A lot of discipline, y'all. So these are things you want to, that's why when dusk would come around in a very tactical environment back in the day, and I'm talking like Civil War type stuff, well, even before then, even Revolutionary War, French and Indian War, stuff like that, is that they would build that fire during the day, and then at night they would rely on the coals, you know, to keep them warm. You lay down, you could even see it in that old movie, Jeremiah Johnson, where he lays down those coals, he gets burned up, and the old man tells him.
I don't know why you looked at me, Dad. I don't know what that movie is.
Well, dude, that's an awesome movie from way back, man. He puts those coals out there, and then he jumps up in the middle of the night. Old man looks over him. Yep, I could tell you didn't put enough dirt on it. Saw it right off. But he didn't bother telling this dude, man. He about got fried on this thing. But
he just wanted to make sure he was right.
Well, that's the longest I've ever. Yep. Saw it right off. So, I mean, this is what you want to know, folks, in terms of, we're talking about permaculture preparedness. And I'm telling you, number one thing that's going to get you from a tactical standpoint is your inability to look around at night. I can't emphasize this enough. Having night vision is all well and good. It has its role. It has its place. But I'm here to tell you, you better start, like a lot of these homestead gatherings, man. It would burn me up every time I'd talk about, hey, Why don't we turn those headlights off? Well, I got to get around. Look, you're messing yourself up. I won't beat that dead horse anymore. All right, on to the farm news. Son, we are scheduling some weapons training for your mom, your cousin, and your wife.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to get them squared away. Go ahead and get their concealed carry, although I can make a pretty compelling argument as to why that should never be needed.
Yeah.
But, you know, Second Amendment should be sufficient.
Yeah, I don't think we need to make that argument on this platform. No. I think everybody here agrees.
Yeah, I would definitely agree on that. But honestly, I want to get them training that's not by me. Because it's like a doctor treating their own family, you know. I want them to get trained by somebody other than me because, honestly, your mom's going to be fighting every single step of the way. And,
well, and, I mean, these people trained this. You know what I mean? It's, I mean, they might be, like, competent in homesteading and stuff like that, but they don't teach homesteading like we do.
And, you know,
I should probably take that training as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, all of us really should, and I need to brush up on some of it. But, I mean, a rifle's more my thing, and we're going to get them squared away, man. And part of the reason why, and I'll go down the rundown of what I'm getting at in the news, is, man, people are being beat over the head for the groceries in their cart, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, folks, I'm not selling you fear or nothing, but honestly, and I've been, frankly, very critical, as some of you know, on YouTube about some of these people that go on about fear. But the ones I'm being critical about were the ones that were doing things that were specifically homesteading. And then overnight, they're now experts in all thing preparedness, even though I know these people have never left that little small place of where they live. Look, I'm not going to blow smoke here. Things are weird. That's why I'm saying you better be thinking about what you're doing with your money. I don't understand why over and over and over again, the people I know are constantly on vacation. I was texting Miss Wanda at Deep South Homestead about this. People I know are constantly, you know, if it's like your mom said, and she said it on the way driving back the other day. She's like, if you've been through these last 2 years and the first thing you thought to do after coming out when you got a little bit of breath of fresh air was, hey, I got a whole bank of trips I'm going on, then you might deserve what's going to befall you.
I can understand almost. If you're thinking like, hey, I'm going to go see these things, I'm going to go visit these places while I still can, that I can kind of understand that. But that's not what the majority of these people are doing.
No, it's really, there's a lot of escapism. And like we were talking about before, we never really feel the compulsion to go out. And I can honestly say for years, I've never felt the compulsion to go on a vacation. If anything, we do a working vacation, like
we'll go down festivals.
Yeah, well, we'll do festivals where, you know, I don't know anybody in Europe, man. I mean, I don't know anybody over there.
Anybody want to learn how to process a pig in Europe?
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. If you want to go there, that's fine. I mean, there are things on this planet I still want to see. I want to see where my great uncle died near Normandy, where he's buried. I want to see that. I want to see the pastel. The things that I've only read about, the things I've only ever seen through picture, there are things on this planet I really want to see. But right now is not that time. And if you're one of those people that feels like you have to, okay, good. I mean, hopefully you got your house in order. But the people I know personally that are constantly on vacation, Do you know these people too?
Yeah, I have a brother-in-law that's like that. Yeah, he's constantly gone. Always going on the next trip. And if he's not on the next trip, he's planning the next one.
And I understand. I mean, you know, I love the notion of traveling, but you know what? There's a whole lot of things right here in the United States of Amnesia I have yet to see. There's a whole lot of people here that
there's traveling and then there's escaping.
I think the two can overlap, but at the same time, good night, man. I mean, I'll come to this here in a little bit. I want to cover one more thing of Farmstead news. Look, that chicken tractor on steroids is working better than it ever has. So if you're not checking it out right now, look, y'all, we are feeding these birds for free. We are making compost for free. For free.
Awesome compost.
You can't buy this compost. You cannot buy it. That's a fact. You're not going to find it anywhere. There's no store you can do. There's no store you can go to that's going to make it better than you can make it at your own place. And we're showing you how to do it.
I could, with the materials here, I could set aside a whole pile for you, make it for you, and it still won't be as good as the stuff that you make at your place.
You want to tell them why?
Because it's completely different microbes in your soil. Completely different.
Right. So when you have, Dr. Elaine Ingham has covered this, in the most massive way that makes the most sense. You got all these microorganisms, most of which probably aren't even discovered yet. And just like we have different people that are better adapted to certain places, like, you take a person in sub-Saharan Africa and you drop them off at the North Pole, they're probably not going to do so well.
Yeah, they're going to last a day.
Same thing with an Inuit. You were to take them, yep, drop them off in the equator, they're going to have a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the same thing with your microbes, folks. That's why I'm saying, unless that compost was produced and you got to know the methods in which it was done, this is part of that preparedness. You have got to get yourself hot on that. And the chicken tractor on steroids makes it a lot easier. Now, there's a fair amount of work. If you're used to just going out there, throwing your feed to your chickens and moving them on, nothing wrong with that. But if you want a system that's basically going to put groceries.
This is, if you can do the labor, if you have the time, well, you have the time. If you can do the labor, it's definitely worth doing if you have chickens, because it's going to cut down or eliminate your feed costs. It's going to, you're going to get compost out of the deal. It just makes sense if you're going to raise chickens and you can do the labor to do it this way.
Or do an 18-day pile. You can do that.
Yeah, you can do an 18-day pile and just give your chickens access to it.
You can do that, but also, well, I don't know how you can give them access afterwards, because you're going to need that covered in the 18-day process. The difference is, in 18 days, you're putting your hands and flipping that pile 9 times. You're only doing it 4 times in a system like this. You're only flipping that thing 4 times.
Actually, I would be curious to see how an 18-day compost pile would do with chicken access and flipping it every other day. You would definitely have to increase the water. You'd have to add water as you go.
Well, that's one of the downsides, and it's not even a downside. It's just a maintenance thing on the chicken tractor on steroids, because they aren't covered.
Right.
Your moisture has got, you got to pay attention to it. So it's not a laissez-faire type approach to farming, y'all. But I'm bringing all this, like I said, once again, it's a tapestry we're weaving here. Now let's kind of kick on down to, I'm not going to go in any great detail on this, son. I'm using this as part of the backdrop of our main topic. Look here. Arsenio Toledo, this can't be the guy's real name, but this is, home prices could crash by 20% next year, experts warn. Well, I've heard some that in places like where we live in North Carolina, they could drop as much as 50.
Yeah. I mean, think of how much they've increased since we've moved here. It's been over 50.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, our house is probably double what it was worth before, and probably much more than that because of all the improvements.
Yeah,
we
did do some improvements.
A lot of improvements, yeah. And we're still doing them. we're still finding Christmas trees out there, man.
And ornaments and soccer balls.
Yeah. Taiwan asserts its right to defend itself to a counterattack if China invades, okay? We talked about it a couple of podcasts ago about all these chips, and the only place on planet Earth where they are produced is Taiwan. In fact, look at our pharmaceutical industry. Where do you think all that comes from? It's from China, for crying out loud. It's India. All these places on the planet where these things are produced, where they ought to be considered national security. Well, yeah. It's national security for the powers it shouldn't be. Okay. Fully armed Russian Navy ship navigates between Britain and Ireland. Okay. U.S. aircraft carrier breaks down one day into a 4-month mission to the U.S. Okay. You know what? There's insiders out there saying that it's not actually breaking down like that so-called, that British destroyer that just, they said it just quit working. Well, what some insiders are saying that, you know what? EMPs are being shot at these things.
Mm.
And they're pretty much dead in the water. Forgive the pun.
Shout out EMP Shield.
There you go.
Maybe, do they do them for boats?
Yeah, they do them for everything.
Oh, wow.
An EMP, I mean, you can put it on your solar rig. In fact, I'm going to have to go get one. I'm going to have to go buy one for that, for this new solar array we're putting in.
Mm.
But, I mean, here's another one that's going to get closer to home. 14 alternative ways to stay warm without electricity. Believe me, we're going to cover that a little bit
that's
more detail.
Timely, especially from the last episode.
Well, and then we're also hearing news that the Russians are basically saying, look, y'all, I mean, take it for what it's worth. I don't know what you're going to do with it, but the Russians are basically saying, we are heading towards basically another ice age, man, is what they're reporting. But who knows? I mean, all I know is you better, this is why I say stay alert, stay alive at the end of every podcast, y'all. That's why I say it. And now things are starting to get real as you can see things unfold. I mean, every single thing out there is degenerating. Now, it's not making me afraid. We've been at this a long time, but I'm seeing the same people who are telling me they don't have, they can't prepare, they can't do this on constant vacation, like nothing I've ever seen.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not talking about like, hey, we're going to jump in the fifth wheel. We're going to go a few hours away. We're talking like.
Or just spending money on dumb stuff. Just like absolute dumb stuff. Like
it's all,
just ridiculous car payments. Like just like, and then updating that car, like buying the car and then realizing you're a year model late and then upgrading it. Yeah.
You know, you
but
know,
what claim
got me,
you can't put back food
yeah,
for your children.
Yeah. You know, what gets me on a lot of that, man. It always blew my mind in Texas, man. All these guys would tell me, I can't afford to prepare, but you're driving around a $70,000 truck.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
You don't can even sell that and fund a homestead.
Well, y'all, the reason I'm really going down all this is that we're going to hit this whole. I mean, there is not a happy story in any of this stuff. I mean, listen, as Judy Mikovits explains how glyphosate amplifies toxicity in COVID vaccines. If we were on YouTube, they would basically shut us down at this point
right
just by
now.
Saying that.
Right now, we would have technical difficulties, and we still might, actually.
Yeah, well, Stu Peters talked about it on, well, they have been suppressing us more and more. It's funny that we'll get a video that's, you know, off and running, and we, you know how these patterns work in these things. And you'll find out there's other homestead channels not even producing videos, and then all of a sudden, they're pulling in 1,000 subscribers a day. So they ramp you up and ramp you down.
You don't go from a 100,000 view video down to a 2,000 view video in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or one that's hot. I mean, it's just, look, y'all, they're playing games with everything. And you'll see that the ones that are most promoted on things like YouTube are the people that are never going to get you to ask critical questions, which is part of the reason why I'm trying to funnel as many people over to freesteading.com,
right?
Because we have got to have a plan B, and that's part of what this podcast is. Plus, I really enjoy doing this thing. But yeah, as far as that glyphosate, and it amplifies the toxicity of the COVID vaccines, right? You had something to say about that too, right?
Well, yeah, it sounds like they have been, like 10 years ago, they introduced the glyphosate so they could get us ready and used to ingesting glyphosate by the time they rolled this thing out, this injection out, just to exacerbate the side effects.
Oh, we're not allowed to talk about that? Well,
if they rolled out glyphosate a year before this happened, then it'd be super obvious to everybody as if it's not already. But if they, by unveiling it 10 years ago, I mean, they've been planning this for how long, Dad?
Yeah, well, there was
this isn't a new phenomena.
There was a lady I had a discussion with the other day, and she was so deep in the matrix. She's like, well, they're doctors, you know? And I'm like, I just kind of sit there incredulous, like, okay, so another appeal to authority. Oh, they're doctors? Well, guess who else was a doctor? Stanley Gottlieb.
The dumbest person I know.
Yeah, that was a doctor. We can't say his name, but Stanley Gottlieb was a doctor. You know what? Who else was a doctor? Who was that guy that worked for the Nazis, son?
It worked for us, too, Dad.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mengele?
Mengele, yeah, he worked for us, too. Nobody wants to talk about that. Operation Paperclip. Yeah. Who else was a doctor? Jolly and West. He was running MK Ultra for a while. You want to know how many people they murdered in that? And that was your government, too.
You know what? Tony Merkel from The Confessionals, he's a doctor, and he bought it overnight.
He's an MD, huh?
He's a doctor.
MD stands for, you know what, maybe I'll go. Okay, I can see some really interesting places to go for. But, you know,
doctor, pastor, raised pimp.
Oh, yeah. PhD. Yeah, tip a pimp, y'all. Check us out over there at that Fountain app. So, man, we'll throw a doctor on there, too. I want to find out more about that when this show's all over. But, you know, everybody that's out there saying, well, he's a doctor or she's a doctor. I mean, they would fall all over themselves. I remember back in Texas, anytime somebody was a doctor, like I said, look at some of the biggest mass murderers in history. You know who else is a doctor? How about Tony Fauci?
Hey, guys, if you are a doctor, never tell your contractors that.
Oh,
that's a good way to double the price. Never tell your contractors you're a doctor.
And that same doctor you were referring to has been robbed. How many times? Telling first thing out of his
How
mouth.
How deep was that well? How deep was that well?
Man, that thing must have been a mile deep.
I don't know.
Paid $100,000 for a dry
he
well.
He was trying to penetrate the crust.
Man, he was trying to get over there to China, man.
Two of them.
Yeah. So, you know, and then there's also that other thing, like blackout risk in California. This is also tying into it as well. EV owners told to avoid charging their vehicles and power stuff. Look, there is no shortage. I can sit here. I mean, good night, y'all. I mean, every time I turn around, this one more thing. And you can sit here. If you're sitting here as I used to, and admittedly, folks, I do. We don't talk about it much here. And we're going to hit on it more and more from time to time as it becomes relevant. We don't talk about it, but honestly, I do take in a large quantity of media in the course of a day when I'm working, because there's a lot of times when you're a farmer, y'all, there's a lot of repetitive work. You see the highlights on YouTube. You hear about the highlights in this podcast.
You guys don't see the day-to-day type stuff on YouTube.
If you're not able to do anything from a repetitive point of view, I mean, there's so much reward in it, don't get me wrong. But part of what I love about this is that I have the solitude. I can take the earphones out of my ear. I can listen to nature when I want. Or I can sit here and say, okay, gee, I could learn another language doing this while I'm working. Because some of it there's a lot of it that you better have your concentration on point, but there's also a fair amount too that, you know, I have the opportunity. So I'm taking in a lot of the stuff I'm telling
comfrey.
You about.
We don't have to think too hard digging comfrey.
Right. So I'm sitting here and I'm educating myself about what's going on in the world. And so that's another thing that's burning me up about this. When I'm hearing these people, I work 16-hour days and so do you. I work 16-hour days, sometimes even more than
that. We're recording at 9:16 p.m. right now.
Right. Exactly. So we work all these hours and it's a labor of love. Don't get me wrong. Now I'm going to hit that brick wall and I'm going to crash. And there's going to be one day where I probably sleep 8 hours. And for me, that's a long time. When I'm doing these things, I'm educating myself. So all these people that are constantly living on vacation, the people I warn incessantly, I'm not hearing, as these things unfold, I'm not going to be hearing from you saying, oh man, no, I can't help you. I mean, I've done everything I could. Like the sons of Issachar, I saw the signs of the times and I made preparations for them. And these people are, those people used to house it for, how many times were they going on vacation, son? Twice a month?
Man, that summer they went on 3 or 4 vacations.
I think it was more than that. Was the ones in where
those were
all
the ones I knew
went.
About.
Yeah. That was the ones where.
Yeah.
So look, y'all, get out of that escapism. I'm not saying dig in the news and just, you know, drive yourself crazy, because that can also give you analysis paralysis. But what it can also do when you're looking at this stuff, we're covering this to get you to, I know that I don't need to do it, but I'm just adding emphasis to what we're about to cover. And when we come back, we're going to get into it.
Who is that, Dad?
Shoot.
You picked it.
Yeah. It's in my phone,
hold on,
man.
I can look it
Clary
up.
Clary Brown and the something like that.
Dad, how did you pick the song? How did you text me the song but not know
I like
who
the song.
Is?
I downloaded it years ago, man. I just liked it. It kinda...
Clary Brown and the Bangin' Raquettes.
Yeah, I think they're
the song is Love Letter.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a jam. It's an old school jam.
I don't think it's old school, Dan.
Well, it sounds
it
like
it just makes it sound like.
Well,
it
they increase the gain so high and where it's kind of like overdone. It's kind of what it was popular a few years back where everybody was kind of doing it.
Jack White did that. White Stripes did that.
I have no idea who any of those people are, man. Yeah. Doesn't sound like the Commodores to me, man. So I don't never heard of them.
But then you know who this is. And then the next song you're going to play.
Yeah, and that song is a jam too. All right, y'all, we're going to get into the topic here. Permaculture preparedness. You could even say homestead preparedness. Now, look, we're going to blur the lines in this podcast. I think we pretty well decided that we're calling it the Permaculture Pimpcast. But who says that that's got to stay within a certain paradigm?
Yeah, I mean, nobody's defined a pimp cast yet, so
yeah,
find us on the spectrum.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So we can pretty much talk about a lot of things. And honestly, folks, preparedness, in my view, absolutely positively overlays with permaculture. Would you disagree, son?
Well, permaculture is preparing.
That's like exactly
a lot of
what
design
is
preparedness for what could happen.
But tell that to these purple people out there, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I got my kale field, bruh.
Yeah, I donated my kale surplus back to my snail farm.
That's actually going to make some good compost, I think. All right, so
on someone else's property.
Well, folks, we're going to talk about things that aren't necessarily, you're not going to look at it necessarily from a permaculture. Remember, I was into preparedness long before I ever got into permaculture, but I've also found ways in which the two can overlap, and we're going to talk about some of that today. Well, right off the bat, everybody, if you listen to a lot of the media that I listen to, every other commercial, they're talking about preparedness food, freeze-dried food, and that's all well and good, but, you know, most of us today have more time than money. I don't know anybody that can afford, I know very few people that can afford this preparedness food, and honestly, if you buy a lot of it, folks, you're going to find out there's a lot of drink mixes in there.
Yeah,
there's a lot of bunk stuff, man.
Yeah,
2,000 calories
a
day, and
a
it's
meal.
All sugar.
Yeah, what they're calling a meal is not a meal. You're going to be disappointed and in a bad spot.
Right. So if you have a limited budget, we talked about it before. We talked about it actually, I think, in the first podcast where we talked about how to feed.
I think so.
Yeah, it was how to feed yourself for like 73 days on $100. And
yeah,
how
it was
do we
a
do
video
it?
As well.
Yeah, it was also a video where we actually showed you how to do it. And I got a feeling we're probably going to do more of those kind of videos.
And that was with meat, or no, not meat, protein, carbs, and fat.
I believe it was, yeah. So it can be done. So right off the bat, folks, if you're finding yourself in a bind, look, it is awesome that you can grow your own food and create your own resupply. But if you're just now coming out of the matrix right now, or maybe whatever your scenario, I can't possibly figure what all of those might be. But let me tell you right now, you can still go down to Sam's. You can go to Sam's, buy a 50-pound bag of white rice, which will keep forever and a day.
Yep.
Get yourself some Mylar bags, 5-gallon buckets, clothes iron, and you're in business. And some oxygen absorbers, 3,000 cc oxygen absorbers are what I use for 5-gallon buckets. You can go down there, literally buy that bag of rice for about $20, a 50-pound bag. You can go to places like this Hayes Foods down there. Where was that?
Yeah, Hayes Foods Products, I think. It was in, Greenville, South Carolina?
It was
Carolina?
Near Greenville, yeah.
Yeah, you can buy 50-pound bags.
100
pounds. Oh, 100. Yeah, that's right. They are 100 pounds. 100-pound bags of beans of all kinds. Straight from the farmer, really. They more like the middleman.
They were like, they're like middleman. They were like grade A beans. I didn't even know they had
they're
different
for restaurants.
Grades.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like the high-end beans. I didn't know they had such a
but,
thing.
Like, what's it?
$35.
Yeah.
For 100 pounds.
For 100
bag.
Pounds of beans. That's a lot of doggone beans.
Yeah. $35 for 100 pounds. Now, I'm sure it's higher now.
Yeah.
But still, for crying out loud, you go to Sam's. Now, that rice is...
Now,
real
there might
cheap.
Be a pallet break, too. A price break at a pallet.
It could be. It could very well be. But you can find some of these wholesale distributors. You know, it gave me a big smile last time I was walking into Sam's to go get some supplies or something. I can't remember what I needed exactly. I think it was like a bunch of cayenne pepper and stuff. And I seen this lady pushing this big old cart. Man, she must have had 300 or 400 pounds of rice on it. Well, you know what she's doing. I mean,
yeah.
She's bringing it back to the house, and she's probably doing the right thing, seeing exactly the signs of the times, y'all. So instead of going out there, you can spend a pile of money buying this preparedness food, which a lot of times is junk. Or we talked about it in the last podcast where we use our freeze dryer for our harvest. But guess what? You can plant you can put entire meals up in there.
Oh, yeah.
And freeze dry your own.
Yeah, you did a bunch of fried rice. What else did you do?
Oh, yeah. Your mom made a bunch of fried. I mean, sometimes, y'all, when she's sick of cooking, here's how she gets around it. She'll just make enough for like a week of something you may really like.
Yeah.
So because she's out there working, look, it ain't just
us,
y'all.
Make something that's amazing, but never make enough of it. Or she'll get in the mood where she's tired of cooking and then cooks for like a week. in one meal.
I'm like, okay, I love this thing, but yeah, because honestly,
it's freeze dried.
And she's like, you want something more than that, bro? You better go cook it yourself. Because honestly, she's working. And
she does everything we do and then some.
Yeah, she does so cooks. Much.
Yeah.
And in fact, I want to try to get her more on this podcast to talk about that very thing.
Yeah.
But you can take a lot of your excess food, and if you have a freeze dryer, and this is where you may want to team up, especially throughout the winter, because, you know, you're not freeze drying your harvest so much around that time. Well, it would not be a bad time to make a bunch extra of your meals, freeze dry them. And y'all, I got to be honest with you, that's light years better than just using a dehydrator any day of the week.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
When you dehydrate, I mean, there's things you can't freeze dry, things you got to buy. I mean, if it's like freeze dried butter and things like that, but there's so many different things you can emulsify it when you have it in a meal already.
Yeah.
And also what I did find out, if you're going to if you're going to freeze dry it, I've noticed that you need to put a lot more salt. And I like to use that Himalayan salt because it's, you know, got a lot of minerals and stuff in there. So you're going to need more salt when you reconstitute it.
Well, also, you should be putting more salt in it anyways, because in times like that, your mineral deficiency is probably going to be increased.
That's a really good point there. Yeah. So, yeah, if you're just starting out of the gates and you're thinking, okay, yeah, I want to grow like the permaculture pimp daddy. I want to do all this stuff. Well, it ain't going to happen overnight, y'all. So if you need to get yourself off and running to get yourself prepared, look, you will get the biggest sigh of relief if you are unprepared, okay? You go out there, spend whatever money you can, and do it as often as you can. Buy some canned goods extra here or there, or you can go buy these dry ingredients, and you're going to save a pile of money. And there's so many calories in just that. I mean, for 20 bucks, I mean, go out there and go get you a bunch of white rice, man. Don't tell me we got entire nations living off that stuff, entire hemispheres.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, rice and beans, and very rarely do they eat any meat. I know in our Western culture, I mean, you know, if I'm sitting down at the table, I mean, I'm thankful for the Lord for anything we get. But honestly, anytime I sit down at the table, I mean, I always like to eat some meat. Now, your mom.
Right.
Yeah. Your mom has been known to try to slip some stuff in here. You look, I got a lot to cover here, so I better move on. So start there. Okay. Now that you have a homestead, I don't know why, son, I do not know why more homesteaders don't put in orchards or food forests.
Yeah. That's a secure way of like food. A tree.
Perennial
crops. The
only
thing that's going to knock that down is potentially a tornado.
Right. Perennial crops. Yeah. And then here we are easing into the fall. And okay, that's one reason. And not everybody can, you know, do apples and stuff. But here's why I love apples, especially some of the varieties we have. Yeah. Is that like the Evercrisp apple is my favorite by far. I don't even think there's a second. So we got plenty of those. You can't just buy those off the shelf. You got to buy the patent on them, by the way. So what I'm getting at with these apples, with the Evercrisp especially, is the fact that when you, not just the Evercrisp, but let's say Arkansas Black, a number of these things will keep forever and a day, man. We've had Arkansas Blacks.
They don't even taste good until you keep them for however many months.
Yeah, I mean, that thing didn't even start tasting good until, I mean, man, those Arkansas Blacks really don't even start tasting good until you're like, after you've picked it, and then you wait about 3 or 4 months.
I mean, honestly, they suck until, until you wait.
Yeah, they're not.
They're not good either.
They're not wonderful at first, no. But then they get good as time goes on.
Yeah.
And if you look, there's that old book. Where I remember we bought one for Danny and Wanda down there, Old Southern Apples by Lee Calhoun, where he writes in that book where a lot of the old apples back in the day, before Sherman's March to the Sea, of course, people don't know it, but all through the South was like apple country. And a lot of these apples were grown by slaves. Some of them they grew from, most of them, as I understand it, they grew from seed, and they were supplementing what they were eating. Well, a lot of these apples, they would take them, cut them up, and put them on a tin roof. And then they had them. That's the beauty. That's what I love so much about an apple, man. It goes well with savory dishes and goes equally as well with sweet dishes.
Yeah.
So
I like the sweet ones more.
But look at it from a preparedness.
Well, right.
Look at it from a preparedness point. I mean, there was a guy I knew back in Kansas. He would do like his grandpa did. He would basically wrap them in newspaper and bury them straight up in the ground.
And just in newspaper?
Yeah, just in newspaper. Oh. Now, that's not recommended. There's better ways I don't know. It's probably these old timers, man, they knew some stuff. But that thing kept, he said that thing would keep for a year doing it that way. That's the way he did it.
It could have been a soil type too.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Could have been. But also, these perennial crops, folks, there's a lot of them out there that you can be putting in, and it's the gift that keeps on giving. That's why we've been weaning ourselves off of annuals and trying to find a perennial that would, I mean, it's freeing us up to do more work.
Yeah.
But man, I'll be honest, homesteaders, folks, I don't know why, but most homesteaders do not have orchards. They don't have food forests. They don't have any of that.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I think they're so focused on the, oh, I'm going to have to wait however many years before it starts producing fruit, or I can focus on this garden and get fruit this year or food this year. But yeah, you should definitely focus on your tree crops, because once they're established, you don't really have to mess with them much. You just harvest.
Especially,
and then it's a for sure harvest for the life of that tree.
Well, back when we talked in the episode about food forest versus a orchard, I mean, from a tactical standpoint, you can't beat a food forest. I wasn't ever a real big fan of them before, because I love working in the orchard, so I didn't mind doing the work. But the parts on our property that are most accessible to the road, those are the food forest.
Here's how clandestine it is. There was an apple on a tree we didn't even know about. And
yeah,
we've been checking these trees for fruit.
So there you go. But just remember, when you're doing that sort of thing, certain geometric shapes stick out. If you're wanting to keep it, make sure you put a row of something that isn't edible closer to the road or where people might access it. Because part of it is trying to keep it secret. I mean, you know, so I mean, folks, think about these trees. Even if you're getting started right now, if you can, put in what you can. You can go through all kinds of videos that we've covered regarding orchards. In fact, if you want to see how we're going to be doing it, go meet us out there at this next class we're going to do. I mean, I know times are a little bit tough for everybody, but you can't beat on the boots on the ground kind of stuff.
This is an orchard installation.
That's really what it is.
Yeah, it's just on top of a swale with more plants.
So September 30th, y'all, we're going to, leave a link down below where you can go.
Yep. It'll be in the show notes.
We're going to show you not only how to do all that, how to put all these other things that are going to benefit that tree, but folks, it's a dying art. It really is. There's parts of this that are really, really dying skills, like butchery. You know, I can't teach you that through a podcast. You know,
I think
you're going
to have to
show
back,
up.
Though. I think butchery
is
coming back.
I think it is. I mean, I'm being asked that next festival in South Carolina, the Farm Where You Live thing. I'm going to be butchering a pig down there. They were wanting to do the whole thing, and I kind of explained to them, look, man, if you want me to butcher this thing and cook it on the same day, we got our timeline's a little bit off. But I mean,
it's a long day.
We got to start early. I'm not going to cook it, but they got somebody there to do it.
Yeah. Cook the whole thing.
Another good place to go to get prepared was the LDS or Latter-day Saints cannery. Man, that was one of the coolest places around. But under the Obama administration, they all shut down. How about that? I mean, does that sound like there was a place in Kansas City, man, you could go there and, dude, they weren't even, I don't even know how, they must have bought this stuff in such incredible bulk that they were practically giving it away. All you had to do is go in there and put your hands on it and work. You do the work, you walk out with the food. That doesn't exist anymore, or maybe they do, and maybe they're just more quiet about it. Also, think about putting back things for your pets.
Or your livestock as well, like mineral. Think about your mineral before you're, like, let's say you bought Comfrey and you're planning on that to be your mineral supplement whenever times get hard. Put back mineral until your Comfrey is enough to sustain your livestock.
And if
same
you
thing
have
with
your
dogs. They love Comfrey tea.
How much tree hay did we give them? We made hay out of Comfrey.
Yeah,
we did a video on that too.
Well, yeah, with the Comfrey, and then also at the end of, it was like at the end of spring, Mom ended up just dumping the rest of the tree hay she had from the previous year.
Right.
Because we didn't even use it all.
Right. So we had tree hay, and she got that from a number of trees out in the woods, but also we were making tree hay out of Comfrey, more of as an experiment because we hadn't seen anybody do that. So we were making like little bales of Comfrey that we'd
Comfrey
string
bales.
Together. Yeah, we were making Comfrey hay out of it. So that was another good way for them to get their minerals as well. But be thinking about your pets also. Pet food ain't cheap, admittedly. But then that's part of the reason why we feed, or when I was feeding these animals, they ate all eggs.
Yeah.
Till your mom had a say on that matter. Well, she's got a say on all of it.
So a little story about your puppy, your intrepid milk boy. He got his food stolen by Nala yesterday. Nala came by, walked by, saw the bowl sitting there, ate all the meat out of it.
What?
And then walked off.
The dog, you can't even get her to eat half the time anyhow. Man, that little hood rat, man, he's lucky my dog didn't cut that dog in half. I mean,
Milk Boy's too soft for that.
No, unless you're a coyote, man, then he's going Old Testament on you. All right, well, let's think about other things because we're going to move on here before too long. Y'all, this is a big one, and we kind of covered one of the news stories on that, is how are you going to heat that place? How are you going to heat your place? Once again, grid down. Can't have a fire out there. But if you have a stove in your house with a blower, how are you going to run that blower? I mean, because honestly, yeah. Son, the one we have in our house right now,
that needs electricity.
Well, yeah. The blower does.
Yeah.
And it's so well insulated that it would just go all out the stack without that blower. So we have means, we have several means to power that blower, mm-hmm. should it be a grid down type of thing. Also, if we're talking about as bad a winter as some of these people are predicting, you might want to think about how you're going to supplement heat in your greenhouse. Do you have a way to do that?
Right.
And son, I don't know that we got time to mess with it, but I'm hoping we do. What I'd like to do throughout this winter is do a whole house rocket stove and have it go underground inside that greenhouse.
That would be awesome.
I would like to get that done. I don't think it would take forever and a day to get it done, but I'd like to. Paul Wheaton has done extraordinary work on that, and the people
we have that book.
Yeah, Erica Wisner and I can't remember the other guy, or the guy. And I've seen the diagrams, and I know that this can probably be adapted for a greenhouse. So I'm thinking the aisle down the middle, we can dig that up, put it down there. I'm not sure that it's ever been done the way I'm thinking about doing it, and maybe I'll find a way to reach out to Paul Wheaton, maybe even get him on the Pimp Cast and see about maybe if they've done this sort of thing. I saw a video where some people did it, but I don't believe they were following the directions, and I'm not sure it's working out the way they intended.
Yeah.
But that rocket stove, man, that seems to be, if we're going to have the winner of discontent, as Shakespeare put it, I've said that for three podcasts now, so hint, hint. If we're going to have that and it's going to be nasty, man, we're going to need some pretty incredible ways to keep our stuff, even in the greenhouse. I mean, it can only get so cold up in there, and it's only going to store so much heat. So that's really something. If there's anything that's got me awake at night, it's like, how do we keep that high tunnel kicking through the winter?
I think it will do well in the winter, though, because we get a lot of sun during the winter, and just our location, our specific location, I think we'll still do winter, especially once that back berm gets fully charged, gets thermally charged. I think we'll do fine.
Well, I don't know that it's going to get thermally charged because it's not actually within the greenhouse. If we built it more like a Wafati type thing, then I think we would have the benefit of that. But look, honestly,
I think that's a Wallapini, isn't it?
Oh,
Wafati's the one you live in, right?
I'm not sure. One of those ones. It's basically an earth-based greenhouse. I probably got it backwards. I've never built one, but I do know based on that last greenhouse we put up by the barn, it definitely had some weaknesses.
Yeah.
But this one here, I want to correct, and I know that we could, with all the deadfall we got around here, I mean, we could kick that rocket stove in.
Oh, forever.
And have that thing.
We could run it forever on the deadfall.
Right. But it's not just heating your house and heating yourself.
Yeah.
Folks, be thinking, maybe with all the energy, I mean, look at the energy prices. They're charging like $1 per kilowatt hour in some places over in Europe right now. I mean, folks, when it gets to that point, people start revolutions.
People are refusing to pay.
Well, yeah, they're going to cut them off.
Yeah.
But this is the point at which you start revolutions. This is when this sort of thing happens. And if you're thinking, oh, I live in the United States of Amnesia, I'm insulated against all this. Well, I got news for you. That chicken, whatever you see happen in Europe, you just hold steady. It's coming this way. Man, this is one eclectic show, man. When you're playing that last song, and now I got, ain't no way I'm not playing David Allan Coe. That's a jam right there, son.
Everybody in the house has to pick music now. I've picked music. You've picked music. Mom needs to pick music.
There's not a person in this listening audience that doesn't dig what I just played.
Yeah, just the difference, the vast difference between the first song and the second song. And then the last episode in this episode.
Oh, okay.
With the Immortal Technique.
Well, man, if you look through my phone, man, it's honestly, there's a lot of music in there. And I'm going to try to play more of that, too.
People still want mom to pick music.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and get ready for disappointment. We'll go ahead and do that. Yeah, you be careful what you wish for. All right, first right out in the Q&A, we got Vincent. Let's see here. I saw your pig processing video. Does it work? Sorry, Vincent. He says, does it work on rabbits?
Okay. You better break out that X-Acto knife.
Okay. Vincent, I'm sorry, man. I don't know if you were serious about that or sorry, bro.
I don't think he was serious about that.
I don't know, man. He might have been. I mean,
that would be impressive. If you do that, please film it and send it to us or put it on YouTube and let us know.
You know what? I think maybe I'll reach out to Leatherman. I'm going to reach out to Leatherman and see if I can break this thing down into primals. I'm going to see if I'm going to take this rabbit.
You could do primals. Subprimals would be a little more difficult.
I wonder if I could make some pork chops off a rabbit, man.
Oh,
dude,
man.
That would be actually a pretty good video,
actually,
man.
Hey, there are YouTube channels that do like the miniature versions of like cooking. So they'll really have like a miniature pan. It's like finger sized. And you could, I guess, send them some rabbit pork chop or rabbit chops.
Dude, I'm going to French out some rabbit ribs.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to see if John.
You don't have dental floss thin enough.
Dude, I'm gonna see if John will let me do that. Okay, man. To your question,
skin comes off of like a sock. If you get the paws off, get the tail off, and then you pinch the skin on the back, stab that through, put your fingers through on either side, and then pull them apart. The skin comes off. The organs kind of fall out. You can pull everything out. And then you have like, that's kind of a meal for me.
I could be wrong here, Vincent, but you ain't going to need a gamble on those.
Yeah. You better be able to hold that thing.
You ain't going to need that bone saw either, nephew. There's a couple of things you ain't going to need getting this done, but.
You won't have to purchase a thing.
No. But hey, man, doing a rabbit, there's more efficient ways of doing it. But I got to say, man. I don't know if you were kidding or not, but if you weren't, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to make fun of you this really, but man, come on, dude, this is funny. So just laugh with us, man.
We're not making fun of you. It is an honestly funny question.
It really is.
In a year, you'll be laughing as well.
Yeah, don't worry. Once you do a little bit of butchery, man, you're going to realize, dude, watch this dude show up in self-reliance, man.
Don't use a 22 either.
Yeah, no, there's easy ways to do that. Yeah. Okay, Elena says, are you going to have speaking of self-reliance, do you have a booth at self-reliance? Because I only do cash. Yeah, we're going to be out there. We're going to have a booth. We try to bring one to just about every festival we go. We always have our wares. If you're right there, it seems like everybody that buys from us, you also get something of a de facto consultation about something or another.
Right, yeah. Usually, and I think we need to set up two tables. One side for people that are purchasing stuff, and then one side for consultations, like people who have questions. Because there are some people who come by and intending to purchase something, but they don't because there's somebody asking like a longer question. So they just walk on by and then they just don't get the time to come back and purchase something.
Well, and for some of you folks saying, well, why aren't you giving this stuff away? Which, you know, look, this is how, for us to go to these festivals, y'all, it ain't cheap.
Yeah, we don't get paid to go to these festivals. No. Have we gotten paid for a single one of these?
No, well, we've been, actually, people have offered to pay us and I've declined.
I don't think we've been paid for a single one of these festivals that we've been to, other than the money that we generated ourselves while there.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we do bring, we bring the stuff that we sell because we believe in it and we know it's good quality stuff. So yeah, we do bring it.
Yeah.
And this is how we are able to go to these festivals. We have been paid. I mean, Thus far, I mean, we haven't been paid. People have offered to pay us. I believe enough in what we have, and if you believe enough in our, the only exchange is, hey, just let us set up a booth. So, yeah, we have stuff, and we take cash. We can run cards now.
Yeah, we can.
When I say we, I mean, I'm talking about them. Usually Kendra, your cousin's out there running that thing.
Yeah, is she going with you to Self-Reliance? She should go to Self-Reliance.
I don't think so. Your mom's going to go this time, and I think we're going to pick up Eric at the airport.
Oh, right. Eric's going.
Yeah, okay. Eric's going to be going there. So Eric Sider's going to be there too, y'all. Wicked smart, good friend of mine.
Yeah, y'all need to ask him questions.
Yeah, so Eric, we're going to post you up at this booth.
Yep.
You're going to help us out, homie, for a little yep. bit. Yeah. You're staying in this Airbnb, bro. You gotta earn your keep. No, we're gonna have you out there. Eric's gonna be there. Justin from Metcalf Mills is even talking about going there. So yeah, we're gonna be at the Self-Reliance. I know Justin for sure is going to be at the, and hopefully he's got a mill with him. He's talking about bringing it. He's had some real trouble.
Back to the land.
Yeah, back to the land. He's gonna be out there. I think it's where he's gonna do his coming out party for this thing.
Hold on. Can't call it that.
That's exactly what it is. No. For this machine.
It's been hijacked. Coming out party, Dad?
Yeah, for the machine.
His
dude, unveiling. I ain't talking about. Okay, unveil.
His unveiling.
Hey, that probably means something different these days,
well,
too, you know?
Not yet.
Yeah. Unveiling probably be another word for a streaker or something. Thomas T says, why? Okay, I guess it goes back to that last question. Why aren't you giving away any stuff? Like, dude. What do you mean, why am I not giving away stuff? Well,
what?
I don't really know where you're going with this, Thomas T. Look, we don't talk
Maybe
about
we should vet these questions a little bit
well,
better.
No. I'm not gonna run from anything.
No, I'm not saying run from it. It's just I guess you need to ask him more specific questions.
Well, I mean, to a certain extent, I'm not a person that's easily offended, but I guess I take issue with the fact that we got three pigs out there we're giving away, okay? We give away a lot of stuff. We give away a lot of money. We give away probably more than we actually keep. We've given away, and we don't talk about this, we give away a lot. But like my Lord and Savior says, you know, you sit here and tell everybody, and you go out here to be known of men, well, that's your reward. And I'm trying to set up rewards for me on high, in a higher place than this is ever going to be. And there's a lot of things we do from a philanthropic point of view, and we just don't talk about it. There are times we've enlisted the help of the audience, and like we said before, all the money.
Oh, yeah. Y'all have been a part of a few projects.
Yeah, a massive blessing, yes.
Yeah, you guys have been awesome.
And folks, I will say, like all the money that comes in for Super Chat, YouTube takes 30% of it, but we still give the entire amount that you gave. So we eat that cost, you know, ourselves. So every time, I mean, it's not eating the cost. I mean, it's to, because every dime that comes in goes to Veterans for Child Rescue. So every time we're live, that's where it goes. So yeah, we give away a lot, and we give away more than, I'll guarantee you, we're giving away way more than those purple people any day of the week. I can promise you that. And like I said, we don't drive new vehicles. We don't drive new stuff. We don't have any of that stuff. I would rather.
Yeah. When you see me pull up in a new vehicle for like consultations,
I rented that vehicle. Yeah. I guarantee it's a rented vehicle.
Yeah.
Because we very seldom take our own vehicles because they're that old. You know, most reliable vehicle is 22 years old.
I remember Kevin Frazier's wife was making fun of me, still makes fun of me over that tiny vehicle I pulled up in, that tiny car I pulled up in. That thing was ridiculous. This thing was supposed to be a full sized vehicle. Nobody, a European woman was making fun of me about a tiny vehicle. That thing wasn't full sized.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you kind of getting out of one of them cars is kind of ridiculous, though. Yeah. All right, we'll end with Vicky here. She says, basically, in light of everything going on, and I'm kind of condensing your responses here, folks. In light of everything going on, are you afraid? Son, let's start with you.
No, not really. I mean, there's not really anything. We can't be any more prepared, really.
No, we can't. You can always be more prepared. I mean, nobody ever thinks they've arrived in preparedness.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, I could keep. No, I mean, there's no reason to be afraid at all. There really isn't.
No, it helps. Honestly, that's why I was saying, if you're right out of the gates and you're like, man, I have no idea what to do, you'd be shocked at how well you feel if you just go out there, go buy some Mylar bags, get some 5-gallon buckets, get some oxygen absorbers. You can usually buy them in a pack, online somewhere, and go get yourself some beans and rice and put that stuff in buckets. Do it right. We did videos on it.
I'm also saying I'm not afraid as a 27-year-old male with no kids. So, I mean, that's a different point of view as well.
Well, it's
so
funny.
It's not like I have a whole gang of dependents or anything.
Well,
like
it's funny because I talked to one of my best friends back in Kansas City just the other day, and a lot of the stuff that's going on in this world, man, absolutely. I mean, he could tell you everything that happened around circa 1776, but he can't tell you what's going on that didn't. If he didn't see it on Fox News, he doesn't know about it.
Yeah.
And I'm telling him this stuff, and he's asking me, can I provide information? I'm like, dude, where are you getting your news? How do you not know about this?
How do you not know?
And he's listening to these mainstream prostitutes and has no idea why he's so misinformed. I'm telling him this stuff, and I'm like, dude, I will send you the information. I sent it. Now, is he going to do anything about it? Now, he's got, what, 4 kids and counting, 5 kids, actually.
Dang, already?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Dude, I think she's got the gestation period of like 6 months or something like that. No, I'm more starting to wonder, man, because they're kicking these babies out quicker than they ought to. But yeah, I mean, and then honestly, at the end of the day, you're doing everything I can. And also it helps when your soul is prepared. You know, if you're asking me if I'm afraid, you know, I'll go back to every day I say Psalm 91, you know. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. You know, it helps. I'm not using that as a talisman. I know at the end of the day, for me, my soul is prepared. That is not a reason. Not a lot of the escapism that I see coming out of a lot of the evangelicals I know, where you think you're going to escape all this, well, you might want to think about preparing because you just might, maybe you're not right. Maybe your doctrine's wrong, whatever the case may be. Or maybe your timing is off. Take your pick. I don't know. But I'm supposed to occupy until he comes, okay? So when you get down to it, When you're straight with the Lord, okay, you don't worry about things. Maybe you still have your concerns. You have your worries. I'd be lying if I said I didn't. And then when you prepare, instead of going on vacation all the time, you're a little bit closer in that realm as well. And then you're always wondering in the background, okay, what did I miss? Okay, did I do this? Did I do that? Have we trained enough? Have we done all this? You can sit here and worry yourself to death. And you know what? Wouldn't be the first time I was completely wrong about what's going to happen either. I wasn't one of the people that fell for the Y2K thing. It was just pretty obvious. It seemed that way to me. But I was mildly concerned. At this point, honestly, I don't know what else. There are holes that I'm filling right now that I know that we're, you know, in the middle of right now. But all the things we talked about here, y'all, are things we've done and things we do. And you can get yourself off and running. So at the end of the day, stay alert, stay alive, y'all. We'll see you next time.